That's how we own it.
What's up? This is Street Politicians, where the streets and politics meet. I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And I'm Mike Son, and welcome to the show.
It's a lot of stuff that's happening in the courts on the federal level. All these federal judges. That's why I always say to folks, they're like, oh, why should we care? Trump said, who cares about who the president is? Well, it matters a lot because over the period of him becoming president, there's been over 100 federal judges put in place by his administration.
Crazy.
And that's where it matters, like in the courts, you know. So, you know, and that's where our young people are sort of shuttling through going into the court system. So it really does matter. And then obviously you have the Supreme Court that he now has a majority, of the court with people that are conservative. And so when you think about the types of decisions that are being made, they're not decisions that are generally in our favor.
Yeah.
We know that people who don't look like us get less time for the same crime that's being committed by, you know, a white person. And so in many scenarios. And so we should definitely know what's going on in our society. And one of those big cases or big issues that came up last week was the Rodney Reed situation. Help us understand Rodney Reed.
Okay, well, Rodney Reed, if you haven't been paying attention, Rodney Reed was a man who was on death row for the last 20 years for the rape and murder of, what's her name?
Stacey Stites,
one of the words.
We're going to look that up while
you... To be.
Mm-hmm.
So he was on death row for the rape and murder of this woman. And over the last couple of weeks, people have petitioned to stop his execution. And there was newly discovered evidence. There were witnesses that came forward that pretty much throw strong doubt that he even committed this crime. And through all of this work, they gave him a stay of execution.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to say that the work was really done by the Innocence Project.
The Innocence Project.
Who had been monitoring the case for the last 18 years.
Yes.
And Stacey Stites is her name. We make sure we call the name of the woman who lost her life, because regardless of who did it, there is a woman who was dead, a family that has been grieving for many, many years. But the Innocence Project has been on this case for 18 years. And then we saw Attorney Lee Merritt and Sean King picked it up and really brought it to our attention and started a campaign that a lot of people, millions of people got involved
with. And so after they gave him the stay of execution, his back history and other crimes that he's been accused of came up.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this online grievance saying that, which was, you know, understandable that he had been accused of six
I think
it was two prior to this, and then there was two or three more after this case happened that he was accused of.
Mm.
Two of them he's been...
two of them he was found not guilty.
One of them was just thrown out. He was found not guilty. One was just thrown away without even a prosecution. And then there was, I think, three more that never even went to trial based on the fact that he was already sentenced to capital punishment. So they didn't even bring the other three to trial. And a lot of people were angry, saying had they known this information prior, they wouldn't have signed the petition. And, you know, that caused a big outrage online. And then there was a back and forth between
Amanda Seals
she made a statement and he responded.
And you know, and I think there may have been one or two statements, but I don't want to say back and forth because
but there was just, you know, she stated that if she had known that he was accused of this multiple times, that she wouldn't have lended her voice
she
or
may
her
not have.
She may No, I don't think she said may. I think she was pretty adamant about saying she wouldn't have.
Okay.
For me, it was, you know, here's a black man that's on trial for his life. I mean, that's facing the death penalty. And the case that he's been accused of, they have evidence that shows that there's a very strong possibility that he did not commit that crime.
Right. Almost that, what they're saying is that it's almost like impossible for him to have been, to for him to have committed this crime because he wasn't in the area. You know, a lot of things. There's a list that people should go and read, but there's a lot. And I don't want us to try to get into recalling the legal details because sometimes the legal details and the stories online merge, and then you start repeating things. We weren't on the legal team, obviously. But definitely from reading what we saw and from the information that was being presented from the Innocence Project, it seems to all of us that this man was not guilty of murder and rape.
And we also want to state that the Supreme Court seen the evidence and decided that it was enough to give him a stay of execution.
Right, right. Like, and also that there is a another person who was her fiance,
whose DNA was
present, who could have been there based upon the timeline, and who's also made statements that implicates himself.
They have other witnesses
in her murder.
Who's saying that they've heard him saying that he admitted to the murder. So there was definitely enough evidence to at least get this man a stay of execution
and get him a second trial.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of disheartening to me that accusations, because they're merely accusations at this point. There's been no, he hasn't been convicted of anything, and that people seeing that these accusations was enough to say, I wouldn't lend my voice to stopping this man from being murdered for something that it almost seems impossible that he did. You know, and it's kind of weird to me. Like, and it's not even about the death penalty or me being against it. It's just being right or wrong. Like, if I'm guilty of something, and you know I'm guilty of it, then let me deal with the consequences of that act. But if I'm sentenced to life or to death in prison for something that everybody can see that I'm not guilty of, but because there's a possibility that I may be guilty of something else, you wouldn't lend your voice to stop me from being killed. You know, that's kind of dangerous for me. Especially in the climate that we are in America as Black people and Black men. We understand that's one of the biggest accusations that have killed Black men throughout. You know, historical, and we go all the way back to Emmett Till, just whistling at a white woman got you killed. So when we understand,
they say he whistled. At
I mean
white
that
woman.
They say. He did. You understand what I'm saying? So
right.
when you and then now she says he never even did that. Mm-hmm. So the woman who
accused Emmett Till.
So
I see what you're saying.
When we look at this situation and we understand how rape of white women has been weaponized against Black men throughout history to kill us, and we lend our voice to continue to heighten that without any real evidence, it's kind of scary to me. You know, it's
well, let
dangerous.
Me just say, so I think it's important in this situation, particularly when you think about what Amanda stated. She said, I wish I had known that the information was not presented, as far as she's concerned, in the top line of issues that people needed to know about Rodney Reed. Mm-hmm. And actually, she and I talked about this, and I agree with her that people should know. And it seems that the legal team and Sean King and others who have been leading this campaign, they also knew that the information should be made readily available to folks, which is why you can find where there have been lives done by Lee Merritt. You know, obviously those lives disappear after 24 hours, but a live was definitely done, at least two lives where they talked about on Instagram, where they talked about these other allegations. Dr. Phil included it as part of the interview that he did with Rodney Reed directly, where he asked him specifically about these allegations. And the Innocence Project has talked about it, and Sean has also posted things about this, specifically this 12-year-old girl, which I think is a really important piece for us to, like, pay attention to, because anytime someone says that there's allegations that someone may have raped a 12-year-old, it's important. One thing I think is important for us to know about that incident is that at the time, because the visual of it is that this older man raped this young 12-year-old girl, you're looking at Rodney Reed's picture and you see him as the rapist of a child when the truth of the matter is this happened so long ago that he would have been in high school and she was 12 at the time. Mm-hmm. So not that that makes it right, but it's important to put these things in the in the proper perspective, right? The DNA evidence came back that he may have been one of more than 10 people. A category, because DNA evidence at that time was not the same as it is today. Today, they can be more conclusive with the new technology, but at the time, it would sort of put you in a category of, mm-hmm. you know, of others that it could be. So clearly, several black men probably could, you know, could have been the ones to commit this rape. And the young girl's family, as well as the girl, stated that she knew who her rapist was and never mentioned or never named Rodney Reed. So
that's,
you know,
very important.
That's important.
And that just leads to my point. And it's
yeah,
like,
but
what?
But when I hear that someone has had multiple allegations of rape, including from people that are actually, you know, who were his, who he had personal relationships with, like, you know, a significant other, you know, people he was in past relationships with, that does cause, it's a cause for concern for me. It would not have stopped me from promoting the petition, telling people to sign it, and from, you know, supporting this particular situation, mm-hmm. because I understand clearly that, you know, killing someone for a crime that we're not sure they committed first of all, let's be clear, I don't think that we as human beings have the right to take the life of another individual anyway.
That's
execution, right, for me is wrong, and I think we need to abolish the death penalty, period.
Well, I don't know. I mean, when I think if doing clear cut facts of rape and, you know, child molestation, I'm all for it. Like, those are two worst crimes in the world to me, if the facts, if we are 100% sure. The problem for me with this situation was that Amanda's a sister. Like, you know, she's our sister. But listening to her live, and I understood her points. Like, she wanted to know. Like, she should have been given that information prior to her lending her voice to something. She was right. But when she started to state the crimes that the man was, accused of, they were inaccurate. She wasn't factual about what she stated, and using inaccurate statements further incriminated that man, because she has a very big following. So she utilized her voice to talk about crimes that he was accused of.
Another murder
that.
But
never,
she since said, I mean, we who are we to judge?
When you call someone a rapist.
I'm not going to say that. I think we need to be careful, because I didn't hear her ever say that the man was a rapist. She said he had been accused of
it. When you
said
that he was accused of rape, and then when you say it.
That he murdered someone
that
else.
That he murdered someone else accused and mm-hmm. and then you say it with, like, matter-of-factness, and you say it with a level of anger. You weren't saying it like, hey, well, he did this and this. You was like, he did this to
no,
these women.
No.
Well, you
no,
can watch,
she
can
didn't
watch the
say,
video.
She didn't say he did
no,
this.
No, she said he was accused.
She said he was accused of this, and I'm concerned, and, you know, and
exactly.
It sounds like this, and it could be, what
and
you know,
what
different
things.
But she never said
But when
he
you
did
look
it.
At every, I've never said she didn't say he did it. But
yeah,
I'm just
that's
saying,
what you said. Sorry.
What I'm trying to say was, she said he was accused of, and this is what he was accused of, and when she said it,
there was a certain level of passion.
There was
that
passion
if
that
people,
if I'm watching you, mm-hmm. I believe that you believe, or you, like, okay, he had to do something to a certain degree. And that's what we have to be careful about. Because I don't want to lend my voice to harming someone or putting someone in a predicament to where they could be, you know,
killed. Right.
Or even accused of the worst crime that's on nature. Like, we have to really be careful. Being a black man and understanding the times that we live in, understanding the times we've always lived in, we are easily the scapegoat. We are easily vilified and monsterized. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So when these situations like this, we have to be careful.
No, we do. And I want to make sure we give some facts about the death penalty so folks know what's going on. So as of April 1st, 2018, more than 2,500 people are on death row. And I think there is a level of inhumanity or something. It's inhumane treatment to just have people sitting on death row for years and years and years, not knowing what day
that's part of
the
number
is going to come up.
That's PTSD. That's all type of things. Every day you're just waiting to die.
And I wonder how many people on death row look like us. Like, I wonder, I want to know the numbers. I'm sure the Innocence Project knows that. And then, but more than 20 states have stopped the death penalty. And it's funny because when acting Attorney General Barr, when he came into office in Trump's under Trump's administration, he began to resume exoneration. So he wanted to go ahead and start getting this list down from 2,500 or more than 2,500 and go ahead and start executing people again. And a federal judge just days ago blocked at least four executions across the country, citing that some states are, when they actually do the execution, they're using inhumane methods of basically killing people. Mm-hmm. And they want to, you know, basically talk about the Constitution and how this may or may not be right. And so, you know, I mean, again, I think it's a slippery slope because there are too many people in prison right now who are accused of crimes that they did not commit. And even when there's evidence, even that is like, whose evidence is it? Is it true? Is it not? So I think the death penalty is something that we might need to, we definitely need to rethink.
You know how many people have been exonerated after 30 or 40 years?
Exactly. And so imagine if those people have
been 20, exactly. After 20 years, they were put to death. Like, you know, so, you know, it's not really a fair situation.
No, it's not. So that's why I said you got to abolish the death penalty, and you came back and said something different.
But I'm just trying to say, I think when it's clear.
Yeah, but see, that's the problem, because like, we can't depend on this system to be clear or not.
I think certain things are clear. If you catch somebody in the act,
now you want to set the standards for the death penalty.
Like, it should be. There should be criteria. Like anything else, there has to be a standard.
This guy.
You know, I think it should be a standard. Like, why shouldn't it be a standard? If we catch you in the act raping and murdering somebody in the act and we got you on video camera and we know it's you, okay, you one of those two or three people that need to go. But if we have... if you still fighting your cases and we don't have clear and present evidence to show us that it had to be you and it's nobody else, then, you know, then we need to admonish.
And so you think the system is going to do that fairly? Anyway, we can move on to another topic. So what in the world is... I don't even know what to say about this Kaepernick situation at this point. I mean, we've debated it in multiple different ways for a while. But after this past weekend, I don't know. I feel like I'm not going to give my statement on it yet because I'm going to let you say your side.
You on my side.
But I feel like it has caused so much tension and confusion. Mm-hmm. And you say division. Perhaps division is what it is. But there is so, it's almost like white supremacy wins again because you see so many people, black folks who are of a particular, you know, status in our community, places that people go to for information. And when you have those folks saying two totally different things on this issue in such a passionate and harsh way, it's very, very, I don't even want to say it's dangerous, but it's confusing.
It is. And that's what it was for me. It started out with division, you know. Prior to even this workout, you know, I just watched how the whole Kaepernick decision, even when Jay-Z got involved, it started to divide us because, you know, both of them mean so much to our culture. You know, what Jay's done in music and entrepreneurship and, you know, even his entry into the movement and how he supported things. People within the movement, then what Kaepernick did, the stand he took that was necessary, that highlighted and brought to light the injustice that blacks and, you know, brown people deal with in this in our communities and how our lives are not valued at the same rate, and the stands that he took, and to see both of those people pitted against each other. And I don't know exactly which parts each one of them played, but to see how the media continued to highlight it and continue to perpetuate it and see how a lot of people just jumped on sides and like, oh, this person's a coon or this person did this. And it was like, it was disheartening to me because I understood this was Malcolm and Martin all over again. This was two of our greatest cultural, you know, icons being pitted against each other when if you combine both of them, where we could have got.
Yeah.
Anybody knows about this Colin Kaepernick? I don't think it was nobody because I banged too much. I don't think there was nobody that was more adamant about being with Cap than I was. Like, you know, for 3 straight years, I boycotted every NFL program. People, my battle rap people who went to NFL, me and them had online beef to where we seen each other in the streets. We had to pull each other to the side and talk about it. I called out people who were at halftime shows getting honored, civil rights. I've called out everyone for not boycotting the NFL. You know, and then when when Kaepernick got his collusion, when he got the settlement and he did the NDA, I was kind of disappointed. I'm not going to lie.
What's an NDA?
NDA means he cannot disclose
what happened in his lawsuit.
You know, or around the lawsuit. So when he made the deal, which he should have got paid for, but the NDA just kind of like silenced him on to me, because it was no more vocality about the situation. Nobody was talking about it.
Vocality, a word.
That's a new word. Vocality. You know what I'm saying? It might be a word. I mean, look it up. But anyway, so when he took the deal, and there was not much talk, a lot of people was like, okay, so we can go back to watching football. I didn't know. You know, I had a conversation with you. We just like, what's going on? So what do we do now? What is the movement? What are we boycotting? We not? Is he good? And there was no talk about it. So until Jay-Z announced his partnership, you know, then it became all this talk. So now it brings us here to this workout. Now, when I heard about the workout, I said, okay, this makes sense if he really wants to play, because he's been adamant. He's got 3 or 4 commercials that you see. He's been denied. He still wants to play. He shows himself working out. He wants to play football. You know, I said, okay, Jay is in there now. Maybe he's saying, why don't you give him an opportunity, man? He wants to play
Maybe
football.
Maybe he said that.
Maybe. This is just what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking it makes sense. You in there, you've been supporting him before all of this controversy. You was wearing the Cap jersey. You did interviews talking about how what he did was heroic, how you loved what he did. Every show you was talking about Kaepernick taking a knee. You denied yourself away from the Super Bowl. You didn't even do the Super Bowl because you still with him. So you were definitely supporting this man. Nobody can say you wasn't. So now that you in these rooms with these people, I would assume, why wouldn't you say, well, why don't you just let him see? Like, give him a workout, something. So this workout that everybody's like, oh, why is it on a Saturday? Because this whole situation has never happened before. You know, we've never seen a situation where somebody sued the NFL and then went back to them after collusion. You know, we haven't. All of these times are different. Mm-hmm. So somebody, the NFL set up a workout on a Saturday. So everybody was skeptical. Why is it on a Saturday? Why? Okay, cool. Kaepernick asked some questions. What is this about? He went online and said, I can't wait to see the NFL on Saturday. So, cool. I'm like, all right, so this should be good. Then it goes into, you know, the problem with the contracts that we hear about, or the problem where he can't bring his cameraman. They weren't open it to the public.
And then to the press.
To the press. And then ultimately it fell through. And ultimately Kaepernick ended up doing his own workout in a school about an hour away from the original place. The 25 owners and representatives from the teams that were supposed to show up ultimately didn't. Eight of them did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my issue with the whole thing was this. I didn't know. First of all, I don't even know why you want to play for the NFL. At this point, what they've done to you, they've showed you that they don't have your best interest in hand. They showed you that you can't really trust them. They showed you that they really don't want you there. For 3 whole years, like you said, you've been denied. Mm-hmm. People in front offices, all these people have figured out how to stop you, right? So now you go to a situation and they give you a contract that you say, I'm not signing this because...
A waiver.
And you say, I'm not signing it because it gives away my rights. But at the end of the day, they have to make you sign it because they got to protect themselves. And you know you in bed with the devil, but you still want to get in bed with them. They're not going to give you a contract. Okay, look, you could come in here and you can try out, and if we don't like you, then you can sue us. Hey, we're going to let you do that. And you're not going to go in there and say, I can't sue you, because if you don't, then I still need to have recourse. So there's no way that this situation can work at all. And everybody knows this. Only way it could work is if you're willing to admonish some of your rights. The NFL is not going to give you carte blanche. They're not going to allow you to walk into their facilities and still be able to sue them if they don't hire you. It doesn't make sense.
And but
no businessman is going to do that.
I think what doesn't make sense is not, I think that's starting at the middle or the end. I think that what doesn't make sense is what they did to Colin Kaepernick in the first place. And that at this point, it now means that if you're willing to come to the table, then you got to come to the table humble. You can't, you as the perpetrator of something that ended up hurting this man, taking away his ability to play the game that he loves because he stood up for black and brown people. I heard D.L. Hughley's explanation for how he feels about the whole thing, which was obviously very, you know, it was different from Stephen A. Smith's. And I love what D.L. Hughley said. Colin Kaepernick is not a rapist. He is not a, he hasn't committed any crimes. He has not been even committing crimes outside of football, right? Like, he has a pretty stellar background and record. And what happened to him in terms of him being blackballed for kneeling to bring awareness to the injustice committed against black and brown people is outrageous.
Sure.
And the fact that he is not able to play, the NFL did that. They are responsible for it. They committed a crime, in my judgment, against this man and against our communities. So if you're going to bring him in for a workout, then you need to bring him in trying to do business the way you do business all the time. That's what the hell you in trouble for in the first place, trying to play games to blackball this man and colluding to stop him from being able to play football. So now if all of a sudden you bring him in for a workout and you doing the same shit, which means you providing him with a waiver that does not look like the waiver that other individuals receive, you are still not being honest. But they, you are the problem.
But they always, that's what you got. They, you're the saying exactly
but
the, what
but
I'm
the
saying,
issue
though.
Is that as an institution, as an institution, they don't have the right to be that.
But
that,
the
and
problem
I think
is,
we
you,
have
you,
to
we
be.
Keep saying, no, no, we have to deal with life on life.
No,
story.
And I, no,
and if you
we
don't,
don't have
with
to
that,
do that.
Okay, so
because
don't.
then. Every day that we get up and do this work, where we get out and drive to D.C. at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning to protest this thing, this issue or that issue, to stand up for the things that concern us, we should stop doing that.
That's
because
not really
life
accurate.
On life,
because no, no, no,
life,
no,
no.
We
let me
protest.
Finish. Because life on life terms would mean that it is what it is, that the whole damn system is guilty as hell, and we just stuck having to deal with
That's
it.
Not what
and
it
instead,
is.
We have a vision and we dream for something that is beyond that, and we have to go up against the system every single day.
You
at
do.
Every single turn, we have to go up against the system to make it, to break it down, to break it down to work for us. So I think that what Colin Kaepernick represents and what it is that he has been doing is exactly his role. Do I think that he could do things different? Do I think he could do things better? Do I think that there should have been a better coordinating strategy around his movement and how we keep it going even after he got his deal or has won his lawsuit or, you know, they settled his case? Yes, absolutely. I could critique it. I can see it. I know that where the issues and the holes were. And if somebody would ask me, I would tell them. But that, let's put that to the side. The bottom line here is that the actor, the bad actor, is the NFL. And they don't get to just sit around and operate as business as usual and continue right in front of our faces to do the same shit that they've been doing against this man and other individuals. So I think he did the right thing exposing their hypocrisy.
But
they,
you're not exposing their hypocrisy.
I see because, it.
But the bottom line is you have divided. What happened is this. You divided your own supporters. The NFL never had no supporters in this situation. Nobody was ever with the NFL. Everybody was against the NFL. They said, what you did to Colin Kaepernick.
Not
was,
everybody,
no,
but,
I, well,
but
even,
all the people who are involved
exactly.
in the conversation.
Everybody
now.
That's in this conversation now, from Stephen A. Smith to Shannon Sharp to all of these people to everybody was like, what they did to Kaepernick is wrong. They need to give him an opportunity. What you did now was you gave the NFL an opportunity to make them.
No,
listen.
See, no.
I'm telling
you. I don't agree with you.
But you can't not agree
no,
with me when you're watching
did
it. Okay, the
was
bottom,
divided.
Okay, no, no, no.
What our I'm, people.
No, because the bottom line is if you just would have said from the beginning, I don't want that.
I don't want what?
I don't want what you, that contract you sent me right there, right? It does not work for me. And you're trying to make me sign against my rights.
And he said
I'm
that.
Not, no, you didn't do that. What you did was The day, two, an hour before, you went and changed the thing. You made it look like you were not. You changed the venue. You changed the location. You didn't notify people. It made it look like you were unprofessional. Then you said you called out the NFL and called them for running. What you did was divide your own supporters. You didn't hurt the NFL with that because nobody.
No, they are hurt. How? Because, see, the problem is that there are some folks who have used this as an opportunity to go back and say, oh, well, now I don't know what Cap is doing. But here's the bottom line, my son. History will record later on, much later, when we are gray hair, if God gives us life that long, we'll record that the NFL is a racist institution.
The NFL has always been a racist institution. It's always recorded.
But it started out, they wouldn't even let black people in there. It's never been for black people. But it is more clear at this point because of Colin Kaepernick's work and because of him exposing them for what they are. At the end of the day, the people who are responsible for what is happening in this moment is not Colin Kaepernick. He is doing the best that he can within the situation he's dealing with, and he should be able to play football. He should be able to play football.
Of course he should.
I don't agree with you.
But I mean, you don't have to agree with me. But you cannot agree with the facts. You cannot agree that we have facts now. Prior to this situation with this workout, there was not one black person that would probably one that wasn't nobody that would publicly say they didn't understand or the Cap just messed up. But that has
a lot to do with the media. No, we have to continue to talk about
this. But the media was with him before.
No, the media has never been with him. They have used, they have exploited most people in the media.
That is not accurate. Have exploited
this situation for clicks, likes, and views.
That is not accurate.
Nobody, you know why we know that they're not with him? Because if they were with him, they would have shut down even covering what's happening with the NFL.
But you can't say that because Ed Reed still plays in the NFL, and that's his best friend.
He's supposed to be able to play there.
So the commentators, that's their job. They went to, because everybody keeps, this is everybody's point of view. Oh, he went to school for this. This is his passion. He wants to play in the
NFL.
And
he should be allowed to.
The commentators who went to school to be commentators and they got their job, they should have gave up their job. When your best friend who's a football player could still play, where they don't even let you play.
We need to move
on. Everybody's supposed to give up their own livelihood.
I don't care. I will never, ever, ever defend.
I'm not saying that you are. I'm just saying that. I would have never went back to the shit. I'm saying, bottom line, I'm not going to play for you. You can't give me that. Oh, look, what you trying to... You send that back. I'm a man first. I'm not going... You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call my own workout. If you want to see me, I'm going to be here. I'm going to say that before. I'm not going to get on social media and say, hey, I'm okay with being there and then give them the opportunity to make it seem like you put, for what?
Well, that's what you do. I tell everybody, if they feed you, then they don't have to treat you equal. Listen.
As long as your enemy feeds you. Farrakhan says all the time, as long as you allow your enemy to feed you, they will never treat you equal.
I'm going to say this, and we can definitely move on. The only people responsible for what has happened here is the NFL. Those people are responsible for what's happened here. You're not responsible for what you do to me.
But I'm responsible for how I react. No one who is a football player or an entertainer
started out being the perfect activist. And so there are mishaps. There's things that happen that people can't necessarily understand. We don't know all the details. You know, when you read the fine print, things that his lawyers and others may have done. But here's the bottom line for me. I support Colin Kaepernick until the end because what the situation he finds himself, it was done to him by a racist system. And, we can agree to that.
Yeah, but the rest of it, we don't agree on at all.
Okay, well,
because I'm not going nowhere where you don't want me.
Well, that's like me trying
to force myself in a relationship. You locking the door, you done changed the locks, and then you say, oh, you can come
in. Some men do that. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I'm not the man that do that. Okay, so that's why I can't identify with that.
That's fine, but, you know, we could get into that and make some and draw some parallels, too.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, this missing girl situation really been... Who? It's not that I don't know that girls are missing. I mean, I've heard it. I've had to help a few families who were in need of support, reposting things. You know, I helped the family get an attorney because, you know, they felt that they knew where their child was and they couldn't get help to, you know, figure out if this particular person in their local community had, in fact, abducted their child. And I helped them to get an attorney and, you know, and in fact, that the child was not there, which is really unfortunate. But nonetheless, I know that missing girls is an issue. It's been a problem. It's not a new phenomenon, but there is definitely a new, there's spotlight on it, because particularly in Atlanta and Alabama, there's been a lot more cases that have come for, you know, people who have come forward, a lot more cases that have happened. And because of social media, just like with police brutality did not start with Mike Brown. It didn't start with Eric Garner, Tamir Rice. It didn't start with these later names that we call our new, the hashtag era that we're in. It didn't start there. Police brutality has been going on forever, whether it's the lynching of black people, you know, all the way again until modern day. So we know that the issues have occurred, but social media has given us a new way of seeing it, really literally being able to see a woman jumping out of a trunk.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Literally, you can see that now where we were never able to see it before. And they say that somewhere around 65,000 women are missing, and largely black and brown girls. And I think the thing that is really upsetting my soul is that it is not a national press story. It's not a national media emergency. There's nobody, you know, there. I don't even see elected officials who we know, love, and trust out there speaking up enough about this issue.
Yeah, it's very disheartening, man. I think it was Egypt. There's a little video with Egypt talking about it. And, you know,
Egypt, the radio host
Egypt, and she was talking about how nobody's talking about it and how it's, you know, it's really getting dangerous and how the numbers, like you said, 65,000. They said there's an estimated about 250 minorities and 60,000 of them are black women.
Wait, 250...
That people of color.
Okay, people of color.
Minorities, people of color that have been kidnapped or are missing. Mm-hmm. And they said, like you said, 65,000.
Oh, so that's in other words, the other pool is, it's diverse, but it's a smaller pool. And the majority of the people who have been abducted or are missing in general, 60,000 of them are black.
65,000. And it's just like, I'm saying, like, we have to do something. Like, yeah. I'm really want to call, like, black men, like, we have to do something to protect. Like, they've just taken our women out of our communities in Atlanta, Alabama. Like, these are places that they're taking black women from, and they're just not showing up anymore. Mm-hmm. So, like, we have to, I think there has to be a call to action. I mean, you know, by black men to start surveilling our communities, to start checking, doing check-ins, you know. We have to have some level of system to which we know that our women are protected, because this is completely out of hand. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's not being talked about is even worse.
And there are black women who I have seen, like, you know, a few people, we see their mugshots, they've been arrested because they were caught, you know, trafficking women or abducting a woman or a child. And particularly in Alabama, I think it was in Montgomery, Alabama, where the little 3-year-old girl, Cupcake, her body was found in a garbage dumpster after she was abducted, just playing outside of a house with another little kid. There was a man and woman arrested for it and have been, you know, charged with her murder. And I wonder, I want to be able to say, not that I don't think that there are horrible women out here as well that do crazy things, awful things, but I wonder whether or not some of the women who are involved in these abductions are also victims of sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. You know, if this is the job that they are now, they are tasked with because of the fact that they also are have been trafficked. They are living as a, you know, as a part, a person who's been abducted. It's a very dangerous situation. And I'm almost to the point where I want to sit down with some of these abductors and find out what the hell is going on here. Now, I know I'm going too far on the limb, but you know me and my little conspiracies. When I think about the child separation, and you know I've been saying that the children who were separated from their parents trying to get into the U.S., particularly under Trump's administration. Now, let's be clear, even during Obama, there were definitely people deported, many people deported, a lot of people deported. The family separation situation has been extremely, extremely hard to watch. We know that there are folks, and you see it's not in the media as much, so people are not talking about it, but there are people in camps right now and children in Harlem, in New York City, living in shelters and in buildings with these different programs. The question that we have to keep asking ourselves is, when they say they lost some kids, they lost some paperwork, they sent families back home without a way to connect with their child who's here in the U.S., who is checking that? Mm. Who is checking that, and what is happening with these children? Mm. Are they being, as we know in history, you know, throughout our history, we've seen children be stolen, sold, become child slaves in different homes, move to other countries. We know what Jeff Epstein, this man who they were literally just about to really come down on him, who's one of Trump's homeboys. That was one of the main charges, is that he was involved in sex trafficking. So that worries me. So now when I think about that and then these girls are missing, there's got to be, it's not a coincidence. No. There has to be a relationship between the two things, that people are missing, women are missing, girls are missing, and body parts are missing.
That's crazy. Like, I don't even
organs,
know.
Organs.
That's another thing. They say they're selling organs.
Right.
You know, it's just so, we just live in really dangerous times, man. And I ask you, just pay attention, man. Do check-ins, especially these young ladies. You got to be very careful. If you have daughters, you have sisters, you know, make sure that you are, you keep your eyes on them. Protect your communities, man. Like, we already see that what we're dealing with in our community. So we have to do our own public policing. We got to police our own community. We got to make sure that we are safe, because we cannot depend on anyone else to make sure that we are safe.
No one is more important in terms of the defense of our community. We are the first line of defense. We know when there's someone in our community that doesn't look right. We know when we see young women who look like they're in distress. And we should pay attention. We can't depend on outside characters. The police will do what they can do, but we've never had fair and balanced justice and safety in our communities. And so we have to be the ones to do the work. The issue of missing Black girls has to be on the top of our list of priorities, of something that we focus on every day as a community, because we have to let those who are perpetrators of it know. And I'm convinced that there are people working for people who are in higher places that we may not know. But we have to let those characters that are working for those folks know that it will not happen in our community.
Now, don't I watch?
Somebody needs their ass whooped, actually.
Oh,
about
no, a lot
this,
of people need their ass
for
whooped.
Real.
And that's what I say, brothers. We got to definitely police our own communities and make sure you pay attention, man. If you see a young girl walking by herself, pay attention. You don't know where she's from. You see her walking with somebody, she doesn't look like she's comfortable. Ask some questions, man. Like, that's our duty as men, to protect our community. So make sure we do it, man.
So that concludes Street Politicians.
With Streets and the Politics Meet.
The Streets and the Politics Meet.
Thank y'all for tuning in. This is only our second show. You know, we're going to have some guests. We're going to have a lot of people coming through.
But we want people to get acquainted
with us
first.
You know,
we got friends. We got have people we can call. I was hanging out with Meg Thee Stallion the other night. Oh, my God. And she put me on her stories. And I'm just like, I can't believe it. And Trey Songz, too. And he is so fine.
Okay. Sorry. Anyway, it's a real dude summer. Hot girl, a real dude winter. Hot girl summer is over, man.
It's hot girls always.
Yeah, I guess. Whatever. Anyway, just remember one thing. We may not always agree, We may not always be right. And we may not always have the right words to explain, but we will always be authentic.
That's right. So, peace.
That's how we own it.